my revenue and profit is at XYZ. Can we sell the business for this? And each year it went from, you know, that offer from Tommy of 800 to the value really was at about 600 the next year. And then the next year he sent me an email. It was really based upon what he'd given me, about 500. Last time he sent me an email, it was about 400. Every single time I replied with, based upon what you've given me, which is just an email with numbers, I'd say your business value is probably X. Please run a profit and loss statement out of QuickBooks or Xero and export it to Excel with a monthly view.
Hi, folks. It's the Quiet Light Podcast with Joe Valley and Mark Dast. Quiet Light Brokerage is the leader in helping entrepreneurs build, buy, and sell their online businesses. Since 2007, we have helped thousands buy and sell online businesses. And now, we're putting our extensive knowledge in your earbuds with our trademark relentless honesty and a few laughs along the way.
The kitchen is my domain. That was our deal.
I don't give a what the deal was. The deal has now changed. Either you stay or you go. It's up to you.
And now, here's Joe and Mark.
So, Joe, I was at an event recently in Salt Lake City, and it was in just a general kind of a conference meeting room for about 50 people or so, and they had a lot of books in this place. And I was intrigued to just kind of look around and see what was there, and you'll never guess what book was up on the shelf. Actually, do you want to guess?
Yeah, I want to guess. Let me look around my office. Tools of Titans by Tim Ferriss.
No. You know what that actually was in there?
It was in there.
That's not what I'm referring to.
The One Thing by John Keller? No, wait. Let's call out one of our friends, Super Fans by Pat Flynn.
Yeah? You know, I don't know. There was a lot of entrepreneurial focused books. So maybe that one was there. I don't know.
Okay. Buy Then Build by Walker Diable?
Buy Then Build by Walker Diable. Yeah, absolutely. That was on the shelf. In fact, they had multiple copies of it. They were giving that book away. And today, what is it? It's February 11th. So we're a little bit past a year since Walker launched that book. And it spent a year as number one on Amazon bestseller in this category, which is pretty fantastic. Obviously, we're super happy for Walker. He won an award for being the thought leader of the year through a major alliance of mergers and acquisition advisors.
Huge.
That is huge. He's had professors from Ivy League colleges come up and talk to him about the book. All this leads me to something beyond just the accolades, and that is the information that's out there in this space about what it's like to sell, what it's like to buy, how, you know, what Walker is talking on specifically, which is the buy side, right? And how to use this as an investment vehicle, how to outsmart the startup game, as he says, reduce some of that risk. But there's also a hole on the sell side as well, where people don't really know that their business is sellable, or they don't think about it. But, you know, just yesterday, I was reading something on the fastest way to build wealth. What is the fastest way to build wealth? And the conclusion that they had is the fastest way to build wealth is through building a business and selling it. This is one of the quickest ways to actually building wealth. And I know, you know, you've had guests on the podcast here who have talked about this process. I mean, you call it your Incredible Exits series. I'm really, really excited that you're writing a book on this, and you're not calling it Incredible Exits, despite everybody else's opinions that you should. But it's the story that went on behind the scenes.
Yeah, I'm excited to be writing it finally. You know, I sat down with some friends a year ago, probably around a fire pit, maybe a year and a half ago, because it was summertime. But we're recording this in February of 2020. And I said, look, I'm making an announcement, writing a book. I'm telling you guys, call me out on it. And then I didn't do anything, right? I tried. I tried to write it. I tried to outline chapters. I tried to follow up.
Hold on 1 second. You made this promise around a fire pit with friends.
Yes.
How much did you consume before you made this promise?
You know, I'm a two-drink maximum kind of guy. That's just the way I am. Okay. It's like giving myself an injection of the flu when I have more. So it wasn't much. But I didn't get it done. It's a lot of work. So I followed the original book in a box method and didn't get it done, scheduled time. And I was at Brand Accelerator Live with our friend Scott Volker last September. And one of Big Scott's announcements was that he actually wrote a book And it is also here on my desk somewhere. Where is it, Scott? It's the Take Action Effect. I just turned my head away from the microphone. Sorry, folks. And I met his scribe, a young lady by the name of Brannon. And I connected with her during the event and talked with her and said, okay, this is it. I'm done. I'm hiring scribe and I'm going to write the book. And I've talked to a number of people about it. And let me just cover the process and then answer the question as why the heck I'm doing this, because it's a massive undertaking. The process is, instead of actually writing a book myself with written words and a keyboard, I get interviewed for, I think it was 8 2-hour sessions. So 16 hours of interviews. First, we outline the chapters and go through the whole process. And instead of talking about, writing an article or a chapter on sellers' discretionary earnings and ad backs and the three levels of ad backs and all the different things that we talk about on a regular basis, Brannon interviewed me. She transcribes the entire interview through Uber Conference and Rev.com for those that really want great transcription services. And now we're in the sort of lull between all of those interviews and me getting my first draft. They're going to give it to me in thirds. So the first one I will get will probably be, I want to say, mid to late March. And then they'll drip it out in thirds every week for 3 weeks. They don't want to overwhelm me in terms of the review and editing. I still have a lot of technical stuff to add to it, but it's really kicked the process into high gear. It's not cheap, let me tell you that. It's an expensive undertaking, but I think given what we do for a living and how many people we're trying to help, I think it's well worth it. Why am I writing a book? Walker's been an inspiration, very successful with Buy Then Build and the amount of people that he's been able to reach and help on the buy side. We work with sell side brokers or sell side clients for the most part. And I've done the math, Mark. Does it sound inconceivable that I've talked to 8,000 entrepreneurs over the last 8 years?
Not at all.
Yeah. And that's probably a conservative number. I'm not saying I've had an in-depth evaluation with 8,000 of them, but I have without a doubt talked to 8,000. And that does not count standing in front of a room with, 300-500 people. And the challenge has been we've got to reach them one by one. And I know that Walker's book has been, as you said, bestseller. I think it's probably sold over 10,000 copies at this point.
Over 15 at least.
15,000 copies?
Yeah. I talked to Walker, and that was a while ago.
I think he told me something like 99% of books sell less than 100 copies that are published. Now, Walker, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's pretty impressive. So to get what we share on those valuation calls into somebody's hands, before, during, and after they have a valuation call, and when they're in an audience that will give them every possible detail that we've developed over the last 8+ years of doing what we do and sharing that in writing so that they can, essentially change their mindset. And that's the goal of the book. It's to change their mindset from reaching out to us when they're sick and tired of running their business or they've had a bump where things are get tougher and they say, oh gosh, I heard I can sell this business. A buddy of mine told me I can get X multiple. I'm gonna call Mark and say, Mark, how much can I sell my business for? I want to change people's mindset instead of saying, how much can I sell my business for? More often they say, how much is my business worth? I want them to say, I want to build wealth, like you said at the beginning, and I want to sell my business for X dollars. I'm going to do that in 4 years. In order to do that, they need to understand where they are today. And the book is going to help them reverse engineer the path from where they are today to that exit so that they can do a partial valuation, get comfortable with brokers, and drive that path. I had a conversation with Mike Jackness recently, and Mike talked about, the fact about what we do. Sometimes entrepreneurs just don't want to hear it, because the idea of exit planning is so beyond what they're trying to do when they're just trying to keep the wheels on the bus, right? They're running out of inventory. They've got competitors coming at them from every angle. They're trying to, do cash flow planning. And it's so hard that they can't see out the front window. The objective of the book is to sort of clear that window, have a clear path to an exit that they understand. And it's a much better ride. I've been through it myself personally. You did it for me back in 2010. I could see nothing, understood nothing. We had a call. We had several calls and the light bulbs went off and I knew exactly the path to take. And I tell you what, operating my business became a lot more fun and exciting, even though I was sick and tired of it after 5 years.
Yeah, you know, the more I experience business and grow as an entrepreneur, the more I'm learning with anything dealing with a goal. Really, the best way to achieve these things is what you said, reverse engineer it, rather than just kind of impulsively decide that I'm going to do something. Figure out where you want to be and then reverse engineer it. But in order to reverse engineer it, you need to understand the mechanisms that are going on, create that value. You're trying with this book to create a shift in the mindset of entrepreneurs, right? It's, by the way, folks, if you haven't figured this out, we don't have a guest. Joe's the guest. I'm going to interview Joe about the book, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about what it is like to do what Joe and I have been doing and everyone else at Quiet Light.
We're co-guests. We're co-hosts and co-guests today, because I'm going to grill you too.
Oh, very good. All right. Well, I want to start out by saying, okay, let's talk about your experience. You've been doing this for 8 years. You've done literally tens of millions of dollars of transactions on your own within Quiet Light Brokers.
I'm fastly closing in on 100 million.
That's right. You are. Absolutely.
12 to 18 months. Pretty shocking.
That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Talk to me about the mindset that you often see or most naturally see in an entrepreneur that comes to us to sell versus those rare cases of somebody who has planned to sell. And what is the difference in the actual process value and stress levels, I would say, for everyone involved?
Yeah, look, all the success stories that you guys hear about on The Incredible Exits, for the most part, those are people that had the mindset that they wanted to determine and plan out their exit. They got an education. They figured out what their exit goal was, and they called Mark, myself, Jason, Amanda, Chuck, any one of us, and reverse engineered a path to that. They didn't call and say, "What's your fee? Okay, I want a list." It was, "Does this whole thing work?" And then we worked with them over 6, 12, 18 month period, sometimes even more. Those are the success stories that you're hearing about. The people you're not hearing about never sell their business because they call. They might have a call like this, or I was just at E-Commerce Fuel last week as an event, and kudos to Andrew Yadarian and all the guests and all the people there. They're brilliant. So many smart folks. But even with that high level of entrepreneurial success and drive, I still get emails like I've gotten this week, which is great chat last week, great presentation. I did a presentation with Mike about the sale of Color. You've really inspired me to sort of, chart this path to an exit. And then I say, okay, well, this is what I need. I don't know. I'm so busy with, adding SKUs and I'm not really there yet. I'm not ready to sell yet. I'm not ready to think about selling yet. Whereas it should be now, regardless of where you are in the business. These people are already doing the two that I'm thinking about where I got the emails like that. One, I don't know his growth. Well, I could do the math on his growth, but the discretionary stands out that he's close to $600,000 in discretionary earnings. And it is 5 to 6 times more than he ever made in his prior day job. And so he's trying to work towards an exit and retirement. The other is was doing nearly $10 million in revenue and had a 25% decline. He's young. He's under 30 years old. And neither of these guys are really ready to, exit. Of course, they're not ready to exit, but I want them to set a financial goal. I don't care if it's 3 to 5 years from now. Set that goal. I need to exit for X in order to exit. And then figure out where they are, get the education, and work towards that. In 5 years, if they're not ready to move, to sell, then move the goalpost. Move it 6 years down the road or 7 years down the road. That is, as you said at the beginning, the surest way to real financial wealth. But we're not talking about them yet because they're pausing, they're hesitating, they're not going to do it. Those are the stories that, I talk about a little bit in the book. There's somebody that was my first $1 million listing back in the day at Quiet Light. I remember it well. I'm not going to name names. Hold on. We'll call him Big Mike. That's not his name, but we'll call him Big Mike. he had no financials, right? None whatsoever. And I remember sitting over Christmas break, taking all of his bank statements, and I actually created the profit and loss statement myself. That is a no-no. We do not do that anymore. No. But I did it. I got it all detailed and accurate, listed the business for $1.1 million, got an offer for $800, right, from a gentleman that you sold his business once upon a time, Tommy.
Okay.
It was actually a good offer because the revenue trends were in decline. And Big Mike said to me, well, why would I accept this? All I have to do is X, Y, Z over the next 12 months and I'll make, you know, $250,000. And then we can sell the business for, you know, 1.2, 1.3 million. And I had a great deal of experience in, you know, paid advertising at the time, as you know, because I just sold my business. This was probably 2012 or early 13. And so we walked through all the possibilities, what to do and how to do it, and off he went. The problem was that Big Mike's heart was not in it anymore. He had run up all of his personal debt and personal expenses. His overhead was very high. He lived the life of a very, very successful entrepreneur, and his business was no longer trending that way. So money was getting tight. He didn't have the ability to pull money from the business and put it into the ad spend that he needed to reverse it. And so every year for the following 3 years, I got an email from Big Mike that said something along the lines of, hey, my revenue and profit is at XYZ. Can we sell the business for this? And each year it went from, you know, that offer from Tommy of 800 to the value really was at about 600 the next year. And then the next year he sent me an email. It was really based upon what he'd given me, about 500. Last time he sent me an email, it was about 400. Every single time I replied with, based upon what you've given me, which is just an email with numbers, I'd say your business value is probably X. Please run a profit and loss statement out of QuickBooks or Xero and export it to Excel with a monthly view. Silence. Nothing for 12 more months. Because he didn't take the necessary steps to do what you have to do in protecting your most valuable asset, in his case, his business. And so he's probably got a job. Unfortunately, and that's the path, unfortunately, too many people go down, or they learn from the mistakes and they hang up, you know, their hat on this particular business, they can't sell it, and they move on to another one and hopefully learn from that mistake. But it's a painful one. I just don't want to see people learn from that, and therefore the painful process of writing the book.
Yeah, you know, it's great to focus on the success stories. We like success stories. I like talking about success stories that make me happy. But for all of these success stories that you have shared so far through the podcast, that you'll be sharing through this book, we also have the stories like that, right? And I could probably rattle off a number as well. Maybe I'll start a new podcast or write a book called Unincredible Exits or Nasty Exits or something like that. It'll be real depressing and no one will ever want to read it. But you're absolutely right in that example is really good, right? That example shows what we see so often from entrepreneurs where they're running, they're used to the hustle, they're used to the grind, they're used to being able to pull themselves up by their bootstraps to be able to correct something. But sometimes when a business gets mature, especially after you've run it for a while, doing that can be really, really difficult. I also think it's, I want to reemphasize something you said, which is the picking a number, reverse engineering, and getting to that number doesn't mean that you have to sell at that point. We've been pretty public, and I will continue to be public by saying that the best scenario for you is to create a business that you can own for your life, right? Because it's difficult to start a business. The cash flow that they build is great. The value that is in them as assets is also fantastic. So I'm a big believer in building and holding, or buying and holding and growing. But that doesn't mean that exiting shouldn't be an option. And so when you hit that number, if you're not ready to sell, you can always move the goalposts as you suggested, or create a new goal. But something that I know you've told me in an email where we were discussing this book is you said one of the goals is to not allow the business to outgrow its founder. And boy, this is an issue that comes up time and time again that we see. And that is business owners who are really good at starting, really good at founding something, and even growing it to a certain extent, getting to a point where making that next shift is difficult. I always describe that the growth path of a business as a series of climbs and plateaus. right? And in order to, you climb to a point and it starts to plateau, and then you have to change the business a little bit. Maybe you have to add new people. Maybe you have to add different structure to the business. And once you do, then hopefully you start climbing again, and then you hit another plateau, and then it's another shift or another restructuring of the company, or maybe a new initiative. What point in, is there any examples that you've seen where somebody has hit that point where the business is just about to outgrow them, and they were smart enough to be able to not let it do that?
Yeah, the climbing and the plateaus, by the way, you know, let's not forget the valleys, right? Yes, my name's Joe Valley, but
we can't forget the valley.
There are true valleys here, right? It's a climb, it's a plateau, and then boom, there's a really nasty valley right there. You're in it. You gotta climb out of it. That's why I think it's important to actually do something that you like, right? Something that you enjoy a little bit, right? Be something that you're passionate about, because when those tough times come, and as an entrepreneur, they will. Unless I'm unique and nobody else has tough times, I don't think I'm unique. You're gonna have to fight and climb back out of that valley. And on the other side, there's a mountain, a peak, not a plateau, hopefully. And those are great success stories to tell in very sellable businesses. But the idea of a business outgrowing the founder, not original, right? I mean, this is something I've seen throughout my own entrepreneurial life, where, you know, I used to do radio advertising, right? I owned a radio direct response media buying agency back when there were 800 numbers associated with 60-second spot ads. I could have, you know, held that business and grown it, but it would have required more and more overhead in terms of people. I don't like managing a lot of people. I tell you, you know, what your job is and how to do it, and expect that you're going to work hard and do the best you can. If you don't, I'm kind of blunt, unfortunately, in some ways. So if you're in a situation, and I see this a lot, where, you know, buyers sometimes naively say, well, if it's so great, why are they selling it? And it is because the business, more often than not, has outgrown them. They wanted to live the 4-hour work week, it turned into 30, and that's okay. And they've, you know, got 5 VAs, and that's okay. But in order to take it beyond just, you know, a SaaS business that's doing $2 million in revenue, they need to hire 3 more developers. And they don't want to go through the headache and hassle of that. Or to take it off of Amazon, they need to learn SEO offline, or email marketing, or whatever it might be. And that's not their skill set. Or it's hiring people, and that's not their skill set. And they learn that one of the greatest ways to earn wealth is to sell a business. Now, people that buy Walker's book have learned that they can, a different breed, you know, mentality of entrepreneur comes in. They're not the startup entrepreneurs. They come in and they take over where that startup entrepreneur left off. The business has outgrown them, and they hand it off to somebody like a Matt Howitt, he comes from the corporate world. He's always, you know, had lots of travel, lots of staff, lots of hours. He gets it. He can take it and bring that business in and have, you know, a team of employees, a team of VAs, and manage it and take it up to the next level, because that's his passion. That's what he does. He gets it. The startup is not his passion. It's not his skill set. So one of the things that I think is critically important, and sometimes this only comes with age and mistakes and failures and successes, and that is to figure out who the hell you are. Mm-hmm. What kind of entrepreneur are you?
Yeah, that brings to mind 2 clients I've worked with in the past 14 years now. And one of them, I've quoted this story before, but he came to me with a business. I've never talked to him about sharing his story, so I won't say what he was selling, but he was selling a physical product. He had initially acquired this business for 5 figures, like a mid 5 figure level, and immediately grew the business significantly to the point where it was doing 7 figures in top line revenue, mid 6 figures in discretionary earnings. And so when he came to me to sell, one of my very first questions was, why are you selling? You've been growing year over year. You're only adding value to the business. This looks like a fantastic business. You've got great rankings, great positioning, great pricing, all these things working in your favor. And he said, well, right now I store all of the inventory in an external garage on my property. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, my son and I go out and we fill orders. It's really nice. It's like, I don't have any more room for inventory. And if I wanted to get another space, I'm going to have to hire somebody. And then I'm going to have to hire more people to handle the marketing. So I just don't want to do that. I would rather cash out and move on. Meanwhile, another entrepreneur that I've dealt with, he was a CPA by trade and loved being on the buy side. And what he really, really enjoyed was taking a business that was somewhat complex, somewhat messy, somewhat inefficient in the way it was run and simplifying it. And I've sold a couple of businesses for him. I love taking a look at where his businesses started, and their P&Ls were these, you know, super long, crazy messes. And by the time that he was ready to sell, they were consolidated down into less than 30 lines because he simplified these businesses, really focused on this Pareto principle of 80-20 and said, I'm going to just focus on what really makes sense and I'm going to get rid of all the rest of it. And for him, that act of cleaning it up was great, but he would, unlike with, so Walker's book is a lot of, you know, buy, build, and grow. His was, I'm going to buy, make more efficient, and then I'm going to sell. And he did this several times, and it was really fun to watch because he knew who he was. That first seller that I had, he knew who he was. He knew he didn't want to have a staff. He had done that, didn't want to do it again. He loved running the business with his son. The second entrepreneur, he was a buyer. He knew what he liked. He also didn't want to have a large staff. There are other people out there that do want to build that team. There are people out there that say, I want to have a $100 million exit. And so I'm going to buy a bunch of these businesses and build something, or I'm going to acquire 15. They're all different types of entrepreneurs, and everyone has different skill sets. Knowing who you are, boy, I think that right there is a great bit of advice. But going back to what you were saying earlier, Joe, if you're so busy and in the weeds constantly and just running and hustling and hustling and hustling and never taking a moment to step back and to think about either the exit or about maybe this topic here of what type of entrepreneur are you? Where do you want to see yourself in the next 5 years? What type of business operation do you want to have? It's really hard to know where you're going. And then your business drives you instead of driving your business. And your career drives you instead of you driving your career.
Yeah. Walker's book takes the mystery out of buying a business and the how-to and building it beyond that. Hence the title, Buy, Then Build, or what he coined as acquisition entrepreneurship. My book, The Exitpreneur's Playbook, is going to take the mystery out of selling your business and setting those goals on what your exit is and reverse engineering a path to that. All right. Can we, now that I've said the title, can we make fun of me in terms of predicting, I don't know, the future doom and gloom of this title? Because I did the opposite of what everybody told me to do.
You know what, though? I like it. I remember doing this when I picked the Quiet Light Brokerage logo. I did 99 designs and I had everyone vote on different types. And I hated what everybody chose. So I'm like, well, it's my business. So I'm going to do my own thing.
And, you know, Chuck sent something, I don't know, must have been fall last year, an email out something about the Quiet Light logo and how it has stood the test of time. So kudos to you. Yeah, so I sent an email out to a couple of dozen past clients that I sold their businesses, and they're going to be part of the book. So part of the book is education and part is inspiration. The inspiration will them sharing some of, you know, golden nuggets, wisdom, experience, things that they wish they did differently. So I sent it out to them, and then another, say, dozen of influencers that are in the space, people that we know well, like Mike Jackness, Greg Mercer, Andrew Darian, Ezra Firestone, things of that nature, people of that nature. And I think out of roughly 25 people, Jason Yellowitz is the only one that said he liked Exitpreneur. Everyone else said, incredible exits, Joe, incredible. It just rings, it rings. And there's been something about the term Exitpreneur that has stuck with me during the interview process. And the more I said it out loud, the more Brandon and I, and again, she's my scribe, the more it felt natural. Because that's what people are becoming when they sell their business. They're exitpreneurs. The difference between an entrepreneur and an exitpreneur is, you know, an entrepreneur is somebody that runs their own business. But an exitpreneur is somebody that runs their own business and they have knowledge and a plan. And I want to give them that knowledge in order to, you know, devise a plan and become one of those people that generates most of their wealth from an exit. So fingers crossed on that. Can I do a shameless plug right now for the Quiet Light podcast? We're I think we're about 25 minutes in, and just a little bit of a shameless plug. I have to tell you,
I felt like this whole thing was a shameless plug for your upcoming book.
But, I know, but it's I haven't even put up a website yet. There's no Facebook group. Really, what it is is a plug for education, because, you know, in truth, I've said the same thing 8,000 times over and over. Maybe I'm just tired of saying it, so I'm writing it down.
With that, Joe, when I was on this trip recently, I was in the airport and thinking about mission, vision, values for Quiet Light Brokerage. And I don't have the vision statement out yet, but this component of education, if it's not part of our main vision, it's definitely one of our core values, and really something that I've built up. I was speaking with somebody just this morning before we recorded this about one of the core values of Quiet Light is to give entrepreneurs the right education and the right set of tools to be able to make good informed decisions. Because when I sold my business, I don't feel like I had that. I felt like I was misled. I felt like I was put in a position where somebody wanted to get me in an exclusive contract, promised me big bucks. And then when I went to go sell, I was completely unprepared. I didn't know what was happening. And so when I started Quiet Light, the goal has been from day one, not to tell anyone to sell, but to give them the tools so that they know what their business is worth today, what it could be worth in the future, what's driving its value, so that you can just make a good decision, right? That's your decision. So the education piece, and I joke about this being a shameless plug, the reason that I'm excited about this, and I genuinely am excited that you're writing this book, is because that education piece needs to be out there. And I love the idea, more than the idea, I love the opportunity we have to educate entrepreneurs of what's available to them if they transition from an entrepreneur to an exitpreneur, understanding that the bulk of the wealth that you build in your lifetime for most entrepreneurs will be at that exit. That might be 2 years from now. That might be 20 years from now. Either case, it's fine. But having that plan and maximizing that value and keeping the process smooth is important. Sorry, I totally cut you off for that, but yeah. I want to emphasize that. The education piece is really what I'm super excited about.
Now, we were going to do two parts of this podcast, a little bit on the book and a little bit about, you know, the philosophy behind Quiet Light's foundation and how you built the company and the entrepreneurial approach. So let's do I think we should do an entire podcast on, you know, this business and how it's built with entrepreneurs helping entrepreneurs, just to educate people more about who we are, what we do, and why we do it, because I think it's necessary. I think you've done an incredible job with the model. But in terms of the education, I got a voicemail yesterday. And this is the type of thing I want everybody out there that thinks they don't have time to do it and, you know, they're just keeping the wheels on the bus, so to speak. Take the time to make time for planning your exit. We're using the educational tools that we provide, whether it's this podcast or articles or Walker's book or my eventual book or having a conversation, because that's an educational tool. Have a conversation with an advisor at Quiet Light. Again, really do it. But I got a voicemail from somebody who sold businesses before, very, very well off financially, runs a family office now. Bought a business from Walker for around $8 million in 2019. And he heard the podcast on product innovation, product development with Zach at Gemba. And he just left me a voicemail yesterday. He said, "Hey, man, I just want to let you know I'm on the way back home from Austin. I got a chance to meet with Zach, and we're going to go ahead and do some product innovation, product expansion, adding a number of new SKUs and accessories to the brand. Really appreciate it. I don't know if enough people tell you that we actually use the tools that you share. So thank you." Great to hear that. So thank you, sir, for, I'm not going to say your first name, for reaching out, letting us know. For the rest of us, this is the shameless plug part. And I've said this. I said this at Blue Ribbon Mastermind, and I said it at e-commerce. Mark, you and I have done now, I think it was 114, I checked this morning, podcast. So that's how many are up on iTunes. We've got a total of 31 reviews. They're all huge, close to 5-star reviews. Thank you, everyone who has given us reviews. I wasn't aware that we had any at all because we hardly ever plug it. And so I was at Blue Ribbon Mastermind talking to David Wood, who will be a guest on the podcast in a few weeks. He's a personal coach and a good friend of Ezra's. And he said something about he was on 70 podcasts last year and he chose which ones to go on based upon the number of views. So I checked ours. We have 31. Pleasantly surprised. I checked Ecom Crew, Mike Jackness, and he's got 81. So I stood on stage at Blue Ribbon Mastermind. I said, everybody, come on now. Mike's not here. I want more reviews than Mike has. He's been doing, I think he's done three times as many podcasts as us. So we're doing okay. But please, if you enjoy the podcast, if you like the podcast, take a minute, go to iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you're listening and pop in a review. We'd greatly appreciate it and share the information and wealth with all the others that need it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's video out there, and I don't know if we're going to be posting it to our YouTube channel, but there's video out there of you making this plug at Blue Ribbon Mastermind, and Ezra is standing there with you, and he's thinking, this is what you're using this stage time for? Like, you have the opportunity to talk about what Quiet Light does, and all you're doing is trying to beat Mike Jackness, and you're like, absolutely, I'm trying to beat Mike Jackness. That's it.
We won't be sharing that video. That's not ours to share, but I shared it with the team and had a good laugh at myself because of it, so no doubt about it. Mike's a great guy. Ezra's a great guy. We don't mention people that we don't like, obviously. So if we've never mentioned you, oh boy, that's a long list. Oh no, I can't say that. Let's just say thanks. Final thanks, Mike Nunez. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, Mike Nunez, absolutely. I think that's a great way to end up this episode here. Let's do one in the future about the building of Quiet Light Brokerage. And I'd also love to get feedback from people that have listened this far through this episode and are listening right now. Are there topics that you'd like to hear us talk about outside of bringing guests in, and we can bring on people within Quiet Light Brokerage, bringing Walker on the podcast again, or Chuck or Brad or any of the many entrepreneurs that are working with Quiet Light Brokerage? Anything you want us to talk about specifically when it comes to buying or selling? Love to know. We want to produce content that you guys want to hear. So feel free to hit me up, Mark at Quiet Light Brokerage, or inquiries at Quiet Light Brokerage Works as well.
Awesome. Thanks, everyone.
Today's podcast was produced by Podcast Motor and the Quiet Light content team. If you have a suggestion for a future podcast, or if you want to guess the quote from the beginning of the show for a chance at getting a shout out on the pod, email us at podcast@quietlightbrokerage.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel and this show wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.